Well, we're all kind of spread out this morning. You know, last week Butch made y'all come forward. I'm not going to do that this week, but think about it. There's room to the front. Well, we're still in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. There's a lot here in this chapter. So we're working our way through it, trying to take each piece, trying to take it in big enough chunks so that we're not arbitrarily chopping it in little pieces, but yet small enough pieces so that we can spend the time on each part. We're going to start with chapter 7, verse 17 here this morning as we look at this. And read with me if you would. It says, "Nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned him and to which God has called him. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not become circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. Each one should remain in the situation which he was in when God called him. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's freedman. Similarly, he who was a free man when he was called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brothers, each man is responsible to God, should remain in the situation God has called him." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement that we can find each and every day as we read it, as we study it, as we meditate upon it. Lord, I just ask that your anointing would be upon me as I speak this morning, that you would speak through me, that each person here would be encouraged and blessed, and that, Lord, supernaturally, you would use my words as your own, and that you would touch each and every person here, that they would be blessed. Father, we thank you for those who are here this morning. We pray your blessing upon them. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters who aren't with us. We ask your hand to be upon those who are on vacation, those who are traveling. Lord, we pray for those who may be home because they're ill. Or maybe they had to work. Father, we just pray your hand of blessing to be upon those of our brothers and sisters who aren't able to be with us today. The Lord, let your presence be manifest here this morning. Let your people here be encouraged and blessed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this particular passage is one that I've looked at a couple times myself before. I've had to think about it or had it brought home to me. This whole concept of we should retain the place in life that the Lord has assigned him to. You know, where is it that the Lord has assigned me is my first question. Right? Where are you? Where are you? That's where the Lord has assigned you. You're where you're at because the Lord put you there. You say, well, maybe I'm in a bad place because I made some mistakes, I did some errors. Well, Lord allowed those things to happen. Maybe it was to bring you to that place. Maybe it was to benefit somebody else. I'm not going to get into all of that because not everything that happens is pleasant in our lives. But not everything that happens to us is about us. We tend to be a little egocentric. At least I am. I'm sure none of you are, but I tend to think that I'm the center of the universe and that everything happens has happened because of me. You know, maybe some of you can relate to that. Maybe you know somebody like that other than your pastor. But as we go through life, we tend to think that it's about me, but maybe God took me here and had me be in this spot for somebody else. Maybe my being here influenced or caused something else to occur that I didn't know about. Again, I've used this illustration before, and if you heard it before, I'm sorry. I'm just tune me out for a second. You do that occasionally anyways. But a friend of mine, elder in church, worship leader, member of the motorcycle ministry with me back before I became a pastor. He, one night, Lord just woke him up and said, "Hey, you need to go over to Casey's." Or no, it wasn't Casey's, but it was another gas station, Quick Mart type thing. Just up like a block or two from his house. He said, "You need to go over to the store." It's like, this was just, he felt this urge from God to go do this. So he got up and out there. And he's standing around the store for a half hour. And he's like, "Okay, you can leave now." He's like, so he left. He doesn't know why God sent him there, but he was obedient to going. We don't always know why we're where we're at or why we go through some things. Sometimes we have the privilege of knowing as we look back. I've seen things where I've gone and I've been somewhere and I thought that, you know, my impact there was nothing. Years later, talk to somebody and say, "You know, you just happened to stop and you talked and you prayed for me. And, you know, it just really, that really, really impacted me." "Huh? What? I don't even remember this thing." But you say, "Yeah, I was there at that time. I remember that. But this was important?" "Okay, great." See, it's about being available for God to use us where we're at, wherever that is on our journey. Because life is a journey. Sometimes we spend most of it within a certain radius of the home. But nevertheless, even as we travel around the home, you know, God puts us there. We need to do our best for Him always. Nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord has assigned him to which God has called him. Was a man circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was he uncircumcised when he was called? He should not become circumcised. Circumcision is nothing. And circumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, we have one of my favorite verses, and one of which I'm sure many of you have memorized, but I'll read it anyway instead of attempting to give it from memory so I don't mess it up. It says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." A new command. Now, Paul here is telling them that it's not important to do this outward stuff. What's important is the inward stuff. It's not keeping the letter of the law, but the spirit of law that was more important. See, the letter of the law, the Jewish law, said that all Jews were to be circumcised. He said, you know, that's really not what's important here. Circumcision itself was a mark of being set aside for God. Okay. We're now past the point of focusing on the outward appearance. We want to focus on the inward, on the heart. So Jesus even gave us that new command, love one another. Now, if we're to love one another, that comes from inside, doesn't it? Now, there are outward manifestations of that, hopefully. If I love you, I'm not smacking you upside the head or spewing vile things at you, calling you names. Maybe I'm giving you a helping hand, coming over and praying with you, being helpful, just being pleasant around you, maybe even. This is love. You know, selfless, loyal, benevolent, concern for the well-being of another person. Yeah, Eva remembers that. And that's the command. But the problem was everybody was getting focused on the outward appearance. The things that made me look good. Looking good is okay. If you look good, that's fine. But don't get caught up in it. This is what Paul's saying here. Don't get so wrapped up in that that you forget about what's going on inside your heart. After all, David was a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he was sinless and perfect? No. Because when he was confronted with his sin, he repented. Because he had a heart that wanted to follow God. It didn't always do that. I mean, anytime we sin, we can pretty much say we're not following God. Are we in agreement on that? David sinned. Big time sins. But in actuality, you know, his sins aren't any worse than mine. Well, now I'm going, oh, sensitive bastard. Now, the point here is that it's about his heart. And that's what Paul's trying to focus on. Are you ready to work for God where you are right now? Are you trying to serve Him where you're at? Are you so focused on trying to get ready to go serve Him or do things that you don't do anything for Him? A lot of people think that they want to go to the mission field. Say, you know, I got to go to school, I got to train up, I got to do this and I got to do that. They're too busy getting ready to go to the mission field to do any work for God where they're at. They might have somebody sitting next to them on the bus, but they won't share the gospel with them. Why? Because they're studying God's Word. They're studying the principles of missiology. They're trying to figure out what's the best way to go cross-cultural. How about hello? How about hi? My name is... How about those twins? Whatever. How about we just interact with the people around us, where we're at? Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. Sorry, that's verse 21. Verse 20 I want to read first is, each one should remain in the situation which he was in when God called him. Does that mean that I've gone contrary to God's will when God called me into the ministry 18 years ago? And I've left that place where I was. I used to live up in Princeton. I used to be a member of a church up there and attend there, Open Door in Princeton. And I'm not there anymore. I left. Have I broken God's will? It says right there, Paul's saying, you know, well, I'll read it. It says, each one should remain in the situation in which he was in when God called him. Is that what he's saying? What is Paul saying, that we're not supposed to move from where we're at? God called me, so this is where I'm supposed to be forever and ever. Amen. No. What Paul is saying here is that when God called me, from that point on is when my call started. From that point is where I started working for Him. And I shouldn't be so focused on getting ready to work for Him, trying to improve myself for Him, that I don't do anything for Him. I've heard people say, you know, I can't come to church yet. I haven't got my life straight. You know, I'm still sinning. I'm still doing this. I'm still doing that. Yeah, so? That's when you need to go. You don't wait until you got your life together to go to God. You go to God because you don't have your life together. Now, if we think we have to wait till we get our life together, till we can serve God, we're not going to get anything done. Because I'll tell you what, it ain't going to happen. If you think it's happened, you're confused. Okay? You're ignoring a lot of things. You're not being truthful and honest in your introspection. Because trust me, everything is not perfect in your life. You are not perfect in the way you follow God's will. You just aren't. Why? Because you are not God. So you're not perfect. You're going to mess up. You're going to miss the mark. Missing the mark. What is that called? That is the literal definition of sin. It's missing the mark. God set a mark. He said, do this. And we go and we miss. So here we are. Paul's telling us that where we are, God wants to use us. That we should be focused on being obedient to His Word, to His command. Not the jot and tittle commands, but the spirit of the command. Love one another. Follow me. Not, okay, I'm supposed to tithe, and I made $38.96, and somebody gave me an apple pie. Okay, now 10% of $38.96, the value of the pie is this. And I need to get 10% of all that, then I need to gather it together. And that's a good thing. I'm not. Don't let me tell you that, no, don't tithe, tithing's good. But the importance isn't that we go out to our herb garden and we say, okay, I make sure I got 10% of all the herbs that I grew. And I got 10% of it so that I get focused on all this stuff that I forget to do what it is that God told me to do, which was to go over to my neighbor and talk to my neighbor. That God told me to go over and call one of my elders and talk with him because he was going to have surgery, or to call my mother and just say hi, find out what's going on with her life, or my sister's, or, you know. Sometimes we go so focused on the periphery stuff that we forget to do what it is that's central. What's central is love one another. What's central is be ready to serve God where we're at. If we were a slave, when we come to the Lord, don't worry about it. If we can get free, great. Because the point of the matter is that a slave is a freed man of God, but a freed man of God is yet a slave of God also. God owns us. Lock, stock, and barrel. Everything. We're His. He is our owner. The one who is responsible for us. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Okay, if we're going to be serving God and He's our owner, we're supposed to be following, doing His will as good stewards. if we get caught up in stuff of the world, that we get ourselves bound up in the chains of slavery to stuff, people, whatever. You know, I got to have that new car. You know, my 2-year-old car just isn't good enough. I got to have that brand new computer. You know, my 1-year-old computer isn't good enough. I'm not saying that you can't have those things, that they're bad. What I'm saying is, if they become our focus and our drive for our life, that's where our problem lies. We're not to get caught up in those things. If we can have those things, fine. If we can get free from whatever's binding us, even better. I'll tell you what, if I can get free from my debt, I'm going to be very, very happy camper. And that's what I'm working for. I'm trying to pay all my bills. So I don't have any debt anymore. But I shouldn't seek to incur more debt than what I can pay and become in bondage or get so much debt that that's my focus. I have to work just to pay my debt. You know, Paul telling us, don't become slaves of men. Yeah, we need to provide for our families. Yeah, we need certain things. But don't be so focused on stuff and people and who are going the way of the world that we forget that God is saying, we want you to do this. What He wants us to do is not follow the way of the world, but to lead people to the way of light. To lead them to the light, to be the light. We're supposed to be that light on the hilltop. Like the, you know, I can't even remember how to start the song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Yeah, that's it. And that's supposed to be us. Brothers, each man as responsible to God should remain in the situation God has called him to. What has God called? So we're supposed to be responsible where we're at, then we're supposed to be responsible to what God has called us to. God has called me to be a pastor. So when He called me to be a pastor, I went to my pastor and I said, hey, God called me to be a pastor. He said, I agree. And we started working together. He started putting me through the paces. I was teaching a Sunday school class. I was teaching a Wednesday night thing. I became a deacon in the church. Then I went and started going to college to get my Bible degree, pastoral ministries degree. And I said, okay. Getting ready, a couple of years of that. And I was going out and I was doing ministry that whole time. And I said, you know, I think the Lord wants me to really get into it. So I went to the district superintendent and I said, I think the Lord wants me in a church. He said, well, how about this one? And they sent me up to Griglin, Minnesota. And that's where I went. So even though I left, I stayed where I was because where I was in the call. God called me and I kept following where it was He was guiding and directing each step of the way, not seeking to get out of where I was at, but just seeking to take the next step of where it was God had me going. And this is what Paul is talking about here. So many times we get so focused on the future that we forget about today and we're not doing anything for today. As I was working to become a pastor in the future, I was ministering to people in the present. But sometimes we're so focused in the present that we forget about the future entirely. And that would have been just as wrong for me to ignore the training that I needed so I could move forward, that would have been ignoring the call. And he said, you need to do it. Okay. Well, I'm getting into it. I'm learning. Learn by doing. But you also have to study. You know, take some sacrifice. And I did. I'm back to studying again. I'm back to class, working on my master's now. Doing it online. Why? Because I just feel that the Lord is telling me I need to move forward in my ministry. Does that mean I'm leaving here? No. I got a very sense that God is wants us to be here for quite a while yet. But I think He wants to take this church someplace, and I can't go take it there if I don't get myself ready. So I'm both being ready where I'm at, and I'm going as the Lord directs. I'm remaining in the situation that God has called me to. What is it that He has called me to? What is it that God has called you to? Okay? Remain in the situation that God has called you to. That doesn't mean remain in miserableness. God hasn't called you to be miserable. God has called you to serve Him. And He's called you to be filled with joy. He's called you to love one another. Now, where you're at might not be so great. There might be some difficulties in your life. And if you can get free of them, that's a good thing. But our focus isn't to be the things, but it's to be serving God. And taking that next step with Him. And if we can better ourselves, we're to do so. As long as we're not doing so at the cost of following Him. Where you are is where God has called you, is what I believe I titled this. Where you are is the Lord's assignment. This is the exact phrase I used. Where you are right now is the Lord's assignment. The Lord has assigned you where you are. And where you are is a path. It's a journey. Now, nobody's stagnant. We don't stay in the same place forever. Even when we stay in the same place, it changes. Okay, I can get you into... we can look at the physics and the biology and all that and talk about how even our... You know, we got cells dying off and new cells growing all the time. So we, even as we stay the same, we change. Same goes for us in our walk with God. The one thing we can't do is be static. We can get stagnant, start to stink through rotting, or we can grow and be fresh and new each day. But either we can be alive in God, moving forward, or it can be dead. Right? Are we alive to His will, or are we dead to His will? Paul is calling us to be alive. He's talking to the church in Corinth. Remember, he's talking to believers. Saying, where you're at is where God's called you. He's put you on this path. Now you follow it. You seek His will. You find it. And you follow it to where it is it's taking you. Sometimes you won't even know. You just know you're supposed to take that next step, but you don't even see what's out there. It's the one part of Raiders of the Lost. Is it Raiders? No, it's... which one? It's Raiders movie. Indiana Jones. It's the one where he's looking for the chalice. What was that? What? What was the title of that one? The Last Crusade. He goes and he got this big chasm he's got to go up. Now he knows that there's a bridge across there. He just knows it because he's studying this, but there's nothing to be seen. Says, okay, And he steps out, and there's a bridge. Sometimes we're like that in our faith, in our walk with God. God's told us to step forward and say, but I don't see anything, God. God's telling us, I told you to trust me and step forward. But I'm changing where I was called, am I? No, you were called to the path. You were called to following God. You weren't called to be static and stagnant. You're called to be dynamic and to be God's servant. God assigned you the path that you have. Now you can either be good at doing what He's assigned you. Anybody ever do good homework that they were assigned? Anybody ever do bad homework that they were assigned? Same thing. We can do our assignment really well, or we can do it really bad. Sometimes we do it in the middle. God has given us each one an assignment. Each one of us is important. He's got us each going in different directions, doing different things. But He's the head. He's guiding and directing it. It's not without direction. You look at an ant colony and you see the ants scurrying every which way and you think, well, everybody's going their own which way. No, they're not. They're all doing what it is that the queen has directed to be done. And they all do their thing. Well, we're a little bit more autonomous than ants. But in the same way, we take direction, or are supposed to take our direction, from our Lord. And when we don't, then we're not in our assignment. Then we're not doing what it is that we've been told, what we've been called to. Brothers, each man is responsible to God. As responsible to God. Now, when it says man there, you women aren't off the hook. Just, it's not speaking of mankind in general here. You're responsible. As your relationship with God. As you are responsible, you are to do what He's called you to. What is that? Love one another. Follow God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your strength and all your mind. And love one another. Those are the things we're to do. Love God, love one another. If we take those, follow God's will and direction. He says, go here, take that step, make that left, make that right. We'll be good. And we'll be a better steward for Him. A more successful servant of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, it's real easy for any of us to discount ourselves, to say, you know, I'm not that important. It's not important that I do, that, you know, God doesn't need me. But the fact is, Lord, that you have assigned each one of us certain tasks. And you assign them to us. And if they're not done, they may not be done. Or they may not be done right. So, Lord, we are each one important. You've called us. You've given us direction, and you sent us. Lord, might we be faithful in being obedient to your will, to doing what it is that you've directed us to do, to serve you where we are, to serve you as we go, each and every day. Not so focused on tomorrow that we forget about today, nor so focused on today that we forget about tomorrow. but instead, Lord, being that good and faithful servant who seeks to best serve you where we're at and as we go. Taking advantage of those opportunities you present for us. Father, I pray that you would bless each one here. That today, they would each know that you have assigned them a special task, a special path, which they are to do. And might they know that because of that, they are your special servants, and that they are important according to your will, because that is your way to use us, your people. Lord, bless us and keep us. Help us to follow you each day. That we be faithful in our service. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we close by saying,